the studio with me tonight. He's a line by the name of Mick Galway. Mick, you won a minor county championship with Castle Island in 84. You won a junior county championship with Curragh. That was a great day in 88 when you scored the goal. You won a senior county championship with Cairns in 88. An All-Ireland medal with Mick Dwyer's great side in 86. Of course, you won an All-Ireland under 21 final against Donegal in 87. Great memories there, Mick.
There's great memories there. Like, you know, to look back on the G, I've achieved a lot in the G, and then sometimes I wonder, like, if I probably missed out on a lot as well. The fact that I turned to rugby and I had to give it up. But at the same time, I've always stayed in touch with the G, and like playing for Curragh, like that's where I learned basically to play and to play a 15-man game, and then I brought it, the talent that I got there, I brought it onto the rugby field. But I had some great days in Curragh.
Well, Mick, we're going to talk to Menno, a great Curragh man, a great GMN out in Curragh, a great friend of yours, a great friend of mine, John Summers. You're welcome to Terrace Talk.
Hello, Misha, and hello, Mike.
Hello, John, how are you?
I'll tell you something, Misha. I'm very happy and delighted to be associated with Mike Galway, and indeed your own program tonight, and delighted to see that Mikey's on Terrace Talk. Because, indeed, Mikey's a legend in Curragh, as you already know, like, you know. I don't know why, but he's such a gentleman, always was, and always a very nice fella, and always kept his feet on the ground, which was very important, no matter what court he was at. I can remember when Mikey, his first game, you know, at under 40, when they beat Spa in the final, I think it was back in Fosser, around 1980. And after that, then, you know, Mikey was a backbone of a young team, which some of them are still around, like, you know. In 1983, they beat Desmond's in a minor county final, Division 2. And, you know, that team, his own first cousin, Tim Galway, was involved with the team as well, but Mikey was a great motivator and a great, great character for the team. Even at a young age, then in 1984, as we've already stated, for the big year for Mikey, big year for the Galway family, because his uncle Mick Galway was the selector with the Kerry minor team, and there were three from Curragh on the team that time, including Mike, who played at midfield.
Yeah, and John, come here, you're referring to him, and I know he's referred to out there all the time as Mikey. Is that, tell us about that.
Well, most people in Curragh, amazing. Mikey Galway, he's always known as Mikey.
Yeah.
And go outside Curragh, or we say outside the Castle Island area, then he's known as Mick Galway.
And you can go further than that?
And I understand now, since he, especially of latter years, he's known as Galway. That's his nickname by the Munster rugby players, his fellow players, and their players as well. Yeah. But as I say, he's known Mikey as Mikey here in Curragh, and I'm afraid he'll continue to be known as Mikey for the...
Mikey, John Summers and all his friends out there, they've done great work for Curragh, haven't they? They're great, great troopers.
They are, of course, yeah. Curragh's a lovely place, and it's a small, compact kind of a place, and in fairness, Curragh G, like, has been the backbone for Curragh Parish, really, in terms of really sports, and now they have a fine hall and everything, but the good thing about Curragh is they all pull together. They have the basketball there, and they have the athletics, and they have a cycling club there now and everything, you know, and the G. And they've all pulled for each other, and they've all got behind each other.
John, thanks for joining us.
Lovely with you.
Lovely. See you later on, please, God.
Right back.
That was John Summers, Jeff and Cutter. Mick, the difference between being an amateur and a professional, is there a huge difference in the line of lifestyle and diet? And it must be huge. For instance, now, tell us what you, we said last two or three days now, what did your routine be?
Well, the last two or three days, we'll say from Saturday, because we were just after a full week's training. This time of the year, you see, is off-season for us, and this is the time we have to do our hardest season. I just take it from a Monday on. Monday, we have to train twice a day. I trained this morning and again before I came down. Tuesday the same, all the way through to Friday. And then Saturday you kind of wind it down, just maybe one light training session. And then on a Sunday you take a rest. So you basically, this time of the year, you'll be training 11 times. And that would include maybe a lot of running and a lot of weights and a lot of exercises and stretching and what have you. It's basically pre-season stuff. And but the thing about professionalism, you have to watch everything. You have to watch your diet. You have to watch the amount of drink you take. You have to watch your lifestyle. And you know, everything comes into, even your family life has to give, you know. So you have to make a lot of sacrifices.
And we nearly bumped into each other, Nina, yesterday, Mick.
That's right, we were up, the Munster team were up in Nina yesterday, we're doing fitness testing and on a bank holiday Monday, that's the way it is, that's the life of being a professional.
But you were listening about the Kerry Hurling team, weren't you?
I was driving out to Nina. I knew we were actually playing there, but we were doing our fitness test at the same time, and I was driving out to Nina, heading back towards Thurles, heading on to Kilkenny, and I was able to pick you up on about 6:15 on your report from Nina, and I realised that I lost by a point.
Unfortunately, unfortunately, the boys were beaten, the last-minute goal. Now, Mick, we're going to the comment line again. Another great cutterman who has a memory of you rushing away from some place to be somewhere. Brendan McCarthy, welcome to Terrace Talk.
Good evening, Wishy.
Now, Brendan, I know very well that this man has given great service to the GA out there. He's even left Dublin rushing down. Tell us about that, Brent.
I remember a game back in 1993, Wishy, Curragh's first year in Division 1 of the County League, and it was a relegation game between Curragh and Dunfermline. Now, Mikey played an international rugby game the previous Saturday in Dublin. But true to the man and true to the commitment he has given to Curragh down through the years, he arrived into the dressing room just before the team took the field and was tagged out and went in at half-time and made an enormous contribution. And needless to say, Curragh won the game and they have remained in Division 1 ever since.
And I know, Brendan, that Curragh are going doing something big at the end of the year for all these great sons of the parish.
Well, we have a very special night planned for the 30th of September in the River Island in Castle Island because Mikey outlined there in his introduction there the contribution that Moss Keane and the two Dials have made. But the four of them, four great sons of Curragh and the surrounding area, will be suitably honoured by Curragh GA Club at a gala banquet in the River Island in Castle Island on Saturday the 30th of September. It all adds up to a great weekend because we are having our first annual golf classic and the night will be concluded with the banquet in Castle Island honouring the four boys.
Brendan, I can tell you now, will tickets, tell us about them, how are they going to be so scarce, will they be available?
Well, immediately after the programme, Wishy, we are having a press release attended by your special guest there, Mikey, and hopefully yourself. And details will be revealed there, but tickets will be scarce because Mikey is a legend, of course, far beyond Kerry, but the other three as well, all have, they're all very proud of their connections with Curragh. And the four, I think we are unique in the parish of Curragh that we've had four sportsmen who have made such an enormous contribution to Gaelic football.
Brendan, I tell you this now, it's unique and it's going to be an absolutely fabulous night. And I can tell you this, you'll have to have it out in video around the street to keep the people out. Thanks for joining us, Brent.
Thanks very much, BC.
All the best, Spider. Now, Mick, of course, you left Corrigan, of course, and you went into Castle Island and you took up the rugby. And Michael McGilligan is president of the Castle Island Rugby Club, and he too, he's been following your career very closely. Now, I met him at the civil reception in Castle Island that night, and he was high in his praise of Mick Galway. Michael is joining us online. Mike, you're welcome to the programme.
Thanks very much, Rishi.
I know that night that you were loud in your prayers. Tell us about this man, Mick Galway.
Well, we got to know Mick at a very early age when he came in, and he was a fine athlete even though when he was in his early teens. And he showed all the great characteristics that come from Curragh, like, you know, his loyalty, his warmth, you know, his honesty, his friendship, you know, his charismatic and his brave and his athletic. He's a bit of a rogue as well, you know, and he's good company. And he's shown down to years that he's a great parishman, he's a great clubman, a great Kerryman, a great Munsterman and a great Irishman. And we're very proud to have him, like, you know, involved with Castle Island Rugby Club down through the years.
I suppose, Mike, to be fair to say that the likes of Mick Galway keeps the likes of Castle Island Rugby Club, the smaller clubs, they keep them going and they propel them to higher things, don't they?
Well, this year Castle Island Rugby Club is going to open their new clubhouse. We've never had more teams, like, you know, and all of this is because of the great history that has come down with Castle Island Rugby Club through Mike. Mike is the third line, like, you know, that came through Castle Island Rugby Club. He's one of five rugby internationals that were involved with Castle Island Rugby Club, and he's continuing that great tradition. That tradition has inspired all the young people, like, to start playing rugby at the moment.
Mikey, will I call him Mick or Mikey?
Whatever you like, Richie, because
I get back to the Mikey
story. You see, the reason I called Mikey was there was four Michael Galways in Curragh at one stage. There was my uncle Mick, my grandfather, which was called Mickey Galway, and my first cousin was called Michael Galway. So I think to distinguish them all, they decided to call me Mikey, so you can call me whatever you like, Richie.
Isn't it a great record for Castle Island, Mick?
It is, of course, yeah. Like, there's always been a tradition of rugby, a great rugby in Castle Island, and as Mike said there, you know, there's been a lot of internationals come out of the place, and, you know, it's only a small place, it's only a small club, and a lot of, I suppose, the players that play with Castle Island, nearly all of them really, would have come from a GAA background, and it's unique from that point of view. And, you know, a lot of players, even from Castle Island, went down to play with clubs in Limerick, and went to play with clubs in Cork. They went to college in Cork, but a lot of them came back to play for Castle Island as well. They all have a great attraction to Castle Island.
Michael, thanks thanks for joining us.
Thanks a little.
And thanks for those words, Mike.
See you, Mike.
Take care. Cheers.
Mick, of course, you played against St. Kieran's in 98 in the 88 county final, won a county championship. And the great Eamon Horan, I was just having an odd check up there lately, the great Eamon Horan wrote in the Kerry men. But it was Mick Galway who really undermined the opposition when he got moving in the opening quarter. The Curragh man was fetching with wonderful rare abandon and fed his forwards with some beautiful passes. Time and again, he had his opponents floundering as he soared above them to pluck ball after ball out of the clouds. What's your memories of that county final, Mick?
Well, I'll tell you, the memories of the county final is I'll go back to the day before. I had to play a rugby match above in Cork with Munster. And at the time, I wouldn't be able to walk for 2 days after a match, no. But I was young and I was fit and I didn't mind, you know. But my big worry coming into the county final was the worry of getting injured the day before, because Kieran's had put in such a big effort and, you know, everybody wanted to be part of it and I certainly wanted to be part of it. So I was worried I'd get injured the day before. But as it turned out, everything worked out fine. And we were playing the Crokes in the final, which was a fantastic occasion. The Crokes were going for their first county final in a long time. And we were appearing there as a first time, really. You know, Castle Island team won it back in 1950, but we were the first Castle Island team now to be going for a final again. I know that I think the divisional side were beaten in 1979, but the Castle Island district was crying out for a county final. And it was really pulled the whole out of the parishes together, and it was a fantastic occasion. It's just one of my treasured memories in sport.
Nick, isn't it great to look back and say, I've seen a football county championship medal in the kingdom, and then you have an All-Ireland medal on top of it. They're great things to have, really, aren't they?
They're great things to have. Yeah. You know, and there's great footballers out there who played football all their life. I couldn't say that. And, you know, and having said that as well, it's great to have a county championship medal and to have an All-Ireland senior medal, to be along with the great footballers that played in Kerry. The county championship has always been in Kerry, and it always will be, because we all know that whoever wins the county championship the following year, they want to be captain of the Kerry team, and that's a big thing also.
Well, now we're moving along, because the Kerry Sports Star Awards were introduced something like 6 or 7 years ago, and these monthly awards go to Kerry's top athletes. And I tell you, I can vouch that the standard of climbing the highest in the top 4 counties, and Rick, you have been one of them recently, years since the beginning of. There's freedom not to be honored by your own people in your own place.
It's everything, really, Richie. You know, you can be reading things about yourself in the international papers and listening to things on the TV and that, but it's nice to come back to your roots and know that you'll be honored there, and you know, I know that you're being appreciated, and every year I've come down and it's been a fantastic night over in the Gleneagle, and you know, I've really enjoyed it. And as you say, the amount of talent and the amount of fantastic sports people that have come out of Kerry is unbelievable, and it's great to be part of it.
And in 1998, of course, you were voted the supreme sports star, the overall sports star. But I wonder, are all these awards deserved? We'll have to go to the chairman of that committee and the selectors. Maybe there's a bit of pull going on there. Cathal Welch is the chairman of the selectors committee. Cathal, how are you?
I'm very good, Weezy.
Come here, how is this man picking up all these awards, will you tell me? You're the chairman of the selectors.
Well, you're one of the selectors, Weezy, but in any case, when you have a sports star who's so consistent as Mick Galway has been over the years, it makes it very easy for a selection panel to come up and say Mick Galway is worthy of an award. And the rugby season now is so long, they've only a few weeks break between the end of the season and the start of the new season. But Mick, for his consistency over the years, is an easy choice to make, and Mick gives everything. He gives it more than 100%.
And not alone that, Cathal, but next Thursday night he's been honored again, isn't he? Tell us about that.
That's right. He's one of the many awards we'll be giving out on Thursday night at the Gleneagle Hotel. The first six for this year, well, we honor Gillian O'Sullivan because she's en route to Australia at the present time in advance of Thursday night. But Mick Galway is among the five recipients who has... was coming for an award again this year.
And Eamon Quigley warned me to tell you, Mick, to be there Thursday night, not to be trying to track you down on the phone. Cathal, listen to me. That's great. Of course, listen, as you say yourself, and I know, when you sit down, there's one name before you, and it makes it so automatic, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I'd like to say that Mick has never lost contact with Kelly. He's never lost contact with Cora, and he's the same Mick as he was years ago. And it's well known and recognised fact that Mick is one of the most undercapped rugby players in Ireland, because Mick always gave his best to the club, to the province and to the country. And we in the Kerry Sports Star, and I'm sure I speak for a lot of the people of Kerry and Munster and Ireland as well, we're very proud of Mick Galway.
Yeah. Cathal, thanks for joining us.
Okay, we see. All the best now, and good luck, Mick.
Look,
now we're going for a quick break. Mick, just one question just before for a quick break. You're renowned throughout the world. You've been to Hong Kong and you've been to New Zealand, everywhere playing rugby, out among the toughest of them all. What would bring a tear to your eye now, Mick? What would upset you? You know.
Well, I suppose everyone knows I'm a bit emotional, so like when I win something, that can be a tear to my eye, because it's my way of expressing myself. I remember when which is a famous photo at this stage, when Munster won the last European Cup, like I was a captain, I had to be seen to be strong, but when I met my daughter Nessa and picked her up, a tear came to my eye then. You know, that was an emotional kind of thing, but I suppose nothing really would upset me to this extent that I would cry over it. But at the same time, you know, people that know me know that I'm emotional and know that I'm very passionate about what I do. And, you know, if I was to see Kerry winning All-Ireland this year, I probably would get emotional over it.
Well, it's just great to see emotion in him. 0667123666. We're talking to Mick Galway. We're going for a short break. Talking to Mick Galway, who broke English hearts when he went over their line on two occasions. They're still talking about him over on Twickenham. Well, well done to Mary and Nina of Abidorney, who took part in the mini hurling sevens aside, played in Croke Park last Sunday. She's the talented daughter of Van and John Neenan, and Conor Carney was her tutor. And also James Godley of Kilmaily represented Kerry up there. He was coached by the great Declan Lovett, and James's parents are John and Agnes. So two lovely stars from Kerry out in Croke Park the last day. We're going to the comment line, because two men, Mick, who kicked you off in your career. One of them took you by the hand and brought you to another match. Another man looked after Timmy Connor and John Brown. Timmy, how are you?
That's about it, I'm yourself.
And John, you're with us?
I am with you, how are you doing?
Not too bad. John, you have vivid memories of Mick's first ever rugby match, is that right?
I have a lot of vivid memories about Mikey.
Tell us a few about him anyway, John.
Well, I suppose the one thing about travelling with Mikey was that it was always nice to collect him Friday hours and a little cup of tea ready for you. And we was, at that time, strictly a winter game, we was be out a lot late at night and foggy and frosty weather. But when we got home, and Mikey was also a great driver, Bridie would always look after us. So it was a great pleasure to travel with him.
Do you remember him as a very, you do of course, as a very young rugby player. Was he shown the promise then, John?
Well, from the very first time I saw him, it was obvious that he was going to go play.
Why do you say that now, as a matter of interest?
Well, he was extremely... Well, he was tall for his age, and he was exceptionally strong. He was very fast. He had a great pair of hands in him, and he was one of the very few rugby footballers who could kick a ball properly. He could drop a ball. He could place kick. He was an all-round footballer, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. Timmy, turning to you, do you think that Mick was played in his proper position all his life?
No, I don't think so, actually.
Yeah, well, I know. Yeah?
I thought number 8 was his best position.
Why do you say that now?
Yeah, he was very, very fast and very mobile on the field and everything, you know?
Yes.
And I thought he'd have made a world-class number 8 player.
When he was young in Castle Island now, Timmy, and he played with Castle Island, you too, I've no doubt, could see the star qualities in him. Is that right?
Oh, yes, and day one, mate.
Mick, these two men, you remember them taking you by the hand, I presume?
Sure, I know them very well, of course. How are you, lads?
That's about how, Mike. Okay.
Hello, Mike here.
Hello, John. I remember my first ever rugby match was I think we played a Blore and Brough, and it was actually my first ever game was actually a trial game for Munster, and I just took to the game, you know, and like Timmy said and John said that I suppose it was the skills that I had learned from the football is what I brought onto the rugby field, and in some ways, you know, they complement each other, I suppose. But as I got older, then I suppose I was getting a bit heavier than that, and I wasn't as athletic as I was when I was younger. But two lads, like, they started me on in under 18 with Castle Island, and they brought me all the way, especially John. John has followed me all over the world, basically, and we've had some fantastic times and great memories, and I owe debt to both of them and everybody in Castle Island Rugby Club.
Lads, one question to both of you now before. John, what are Mick's greatest attributes now, would you say?
Half his appetite.
Well, you can include that too.
One night we stopped in Patrick's bed for a bit of grub coming off from Limerick.
Yeah?
And he ordered a bucket of chicken, not his fried chicken. he was waiting for it.
A bucket of them?
Cheeseburgers.
Yeah?
I suppose his greatest attribute is his sense of humor, and he can adapt to any situation.
Right.
And he's proven that around the world, and playing with various teams and various clubs, and, you know, he's very adaptable, and he fits into a situation, and he knows how to, once he fits into it, he knows how to master it.
Well said. Timmy, what about you?
I think I'd agree, yeah, with what John said, like, no.
Yeah.
He's not own sportsman, like, I mean, he has everything.
Well, listen, lads, thanks for those lovely memories anyway, and all the best to you.
Okay,
welcome. Thanks, lads.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Mick did mention about going all around the world. Because when you're going along with the Lions now, when you're going out fun with other teams like that, you're mixing with English, Scottish, Welsh, and you're mixing. I often wonder myself, what are these blokes like? Are they all very nice fellas, or are there some of them that look down on you, or do they all pull well, or we hear lots?
Well, I suppose, you know, like every walk of life, you meet different kinds of people. I suppose at the end of the day, the thing about it is to let nobody walk down you, and you just take everyone as they are, and you just try to be yourself, and 9 times out of 10 or 99 times out of 100 they'll accept you for what you are. And in fairness, like being on the Lions tour that time, you know, I was we were basically away from home for 2 months, and you were living with these people. Like, there was English and Welsh and Scottish, and I got on well with all of them, and we all pulled together, and it was a fantastic experience, playing and meeting and training and socialising and basically living with people of different nationalities.
When you were away from me, now travelling to New Zealand, these places, you were out in Hong Kong, weren't you?
I was out in Hong Kong in 1993. I played in the Hong Kong Sevens out there.
That was tough, I'd say, was it?
That was tough going, because first of all, it's the top sevens tournament in the world, and secondly, it's a lot of humidity, and the heat out there was unbelievable, but it was very enjoyable, and it was fantastic, and playing against some of the best players in the world out there also. And it's a very fast game, the sevens, you know. It's completely different to the 15-man game. It's like seven-a-side soccer or football, for that matter, you know. It's very fast and open.
Yeah. What height do you make?
I'm 6'4".
Yeah, and what weight are you when you're fit?
I'm 18 stone on the button when I'm fit.
You have to be fit to that, do you?
I have to be fit to that.
You're 18 stone on the button when you're fit.
I'm 18 stone on the button,
yeah. Well, no, Mick, Con Holland, like John B. Keane, he's one of my favourite Kerry men, and I must admit that, because I've been falling about him, and you have too, and I know you were too. And the Castle Isle man joins us from his home in Dublin, where he's recuperating following a recent fall. Con Holland, Con, you're welcome to the programme.
Thank you most kindly.
Yeah, listen, Con, first thing, whatever about Mick here anyway, how are you, Con, after your fall?
I'm grateful.
Coming around well?
Brilliantly, taking that point.
That's nothing like it, Con, nothing like it. Con, come here before we talk to just... there was an AGM in Castle Island one time I was reading somewhere, and the club was inclined to fold up, only if yourself and your brother, we might have never heard of this man, is that right?
About 30 years ago.
Tell us about it, Con.
About 30 years ago, see, many of our players have been trained into America. And we came to the season, say, you know, September, and we were about 10 players. And you wanted to use 25,000 club, you know. So at the AGM, the other people said, we'd let it go for a year, you know, put it on hold. And of course, if we did, the 10 players we had, they'd got to kill in three. So we postponed the meeting, and we had it again. I got in a few people, young people, the same, and we had a vote, and we kept the club going. And we had a great season. Now, but for that club, my brother and I have kept it going for a long time. Mick Galway, my turn, never played rugby. He played with Kerry, and he played with St. Kieran's and with Kerry. But he came to Castle Island to school, joined our club, went on to great glory with Shannon, Munster, Ireland, and the Lions. And he's a man we're very proud of. He's a colourman, he's also a Castle Island man, because they're the same place.
Con, you have great Kerry sportsmen. You know more about sports than Kerry. You've delighted John Lennon and Gene Manning, Mick O'Connell, the Casey, the Snee, Mick Dwyer, many more, and now Mick Galway. What puts these Kerry men above everyone else, the likes of Mick here?
Yeah, you see, one time long ago, Jackie Lyon, God rest him, your neighbour, I'm going to say a terrible thing now. He was asked whether Kerry's so good at football. And he said, with those holes of mountains behind us, you know.
Yes.
We have to do something.
Do you want to say a lot?
You know, his own crazy way, I think he put a finger down.
He did indeed, Con. He did indeed.
How are you getting on, Con?
Fine.
Good man. We haven't seen you for a while.
Fine.
Good man. So we'll see you in one of the matches come September, October, I suppose.
I've been talking about every single day since it opened up, after I came back from England.
Good man.
Every Sunday until the end. Yes, sir. We finished it out in October. Yes, sir.
Con, what's your favourite memory of Mick Galway?
Scoring a try against England in Downsdown Road.
Yeah?
He scored at the north east corner, where Tom Dredd scored, and where Musty Kane scored. And it's not in Dublin as a Kerryman's corner.
And Nick, Con, we've been just told in the programme a while ago that there's a big night coming up in Curra by the Curra Jacob for all these great men at the end of the year. They're going on ring them all. So I have no doubt it won't go on unless Con Holland will be down. Will we see you there?
I'll try and make it.
With the help of God. And listen, Con, thanks for joining us.
Thank you too.
And it was lovely having you, and look after yourself.
Bye now. Bye.
Take care, Con.
Mick, great man, isn't he?
A great man, yeah.
And brilliant writer, and something special, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a character, and he was obviously a great writer for years, and Conn was somebody, like, even when he was writing, he never forgot about where he came from, Castle Island, and indeed Kerry, and he tells some great stories, but he's known all over the world, Conn, and you know, when you meet him, you often meet him there at matches, and you'd meet him after a while, but he does his own thing, Conn, you know, in fairness to Conn, you have to admire him for what he is, and for what he does, and he's a great Kerry man.
Wonderful man, great man. Listen, we're going for a short break again. Stay with us and tell us talk. 066-712-3666. 066-712-3666. Mick, somebody said to tell you, I have to ask you, were you the tallest baker in the world and were you bad for getting up in the morning to bake the buns?
Well, I suppose, I don't know, I suppose I could nearly agree with both. I probably was the tallest baker in Castle Island, you know, and yeah, there was often in the morning, right, I would have slipped out. I was young at the time, and you know yourself now, which when you're young, you're out late at night, and the one thing about the bakery business, you have to be up early in the morning, but in fairness to Charlie Nilligan, he always kept me going.
Mick, we have something in common. I worked in Tam's Bakery in New Street, Killarney, when I was a young fella, making donuts, and I ate more than
this is right, yeah, I suppose.
And pulling out the bread with the big long shovels.
Exactly.
And very warm inside there.
Just tough going, just tough going.
Just tough, yeah, but you must be tough to beat the
Tam. Exactly.
Now, Mick, we're going to the comment line again because we're going to join by another legendary colour man. He was born just next door to Dick Scores Creamery, only a length of a pitch away from you, Mick. And of course, he went on to staff for his country, but more importantly, he led them to historic Triple Crown, which was unique for any man in rugby. We're joined from his home by Mick Doyle. Mick, you're welcome to Terrace Talk.
How are you?
How are things?
Very well, thank you.
Now, tell us about...
I didn't know if Mick Galloway was a baker.
I was a baker from my day, Mick.
That I never had any of his buns.
Mick, before I ask you, first thing I must ask you is, how was it that this man was ignored for so long there in the last number of years by the Irish selectors?
I think he must have owed the money.
Yeah?
I don't really know. I think it was incredible. I believe that it was a huge, huge loss to Irish rugby. And I'm not just saying that because Mick's there. I've been saying it all my life, and I think it's appalling myself. I think so many guys have got caps in between because they look great, they're the right clubs or whatever you call it, but they haven't done the job for Ireland, as far as I can see. I came across a ticket stub I had from a match of 93, the Ireland-England match, and I wrote on it then, it was the greatest match I ever saw in Ireland, and I believe that, and Mick played a fantastic game that day. You remember that?
I remember it well, yeah, that was a very passionate day, and I remember England were going for their fourth, or third or fourth Grand Slam or whatever, and we knocked them off their perch that day anyway.
Well, Carney was going for his tea at the end of it.
That's true, yeah, that's true.
What was his greatest hour, would you say, Mick?
Well, I thought that game was an incredible game. For me, I thought he was superb that day, right? I also think he played incredibly well in a couple of the European Cup matches this year. The one in Shannon against the Stade Francais was that one, Mick?
That's right, yeah. We played Stade Francais in Thomond Park.
Yeah, I thought that was a superb game, I must say. But I thought he always played pretty well. I think that his real position was probably second row. He played at number 8 because he was so good at football anyway. But his real position was second on. I think he loved it there. He was a real focal point or fulcrum of the pack, the driving point, the whole spearhead. And I think he could have been that, you know, for the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years of the Irish team. And I'm sorry he wasn't.
Mick, before we let you go, final question, we have more people lined up. What's the secret of Colin producing such a array of great world sportsmen?
Clean living.
Well, that's a simple answer.
I think it's the combination of a number of things.
Yeah.
I think that the background of Gaelic football that was in Corran always has been.
Right.
And it epitomised a real Kerry spirit. I think that engendered a feeling of incredible determination from anybody in Corran who wants to play another game. Even.
Yeah.
That brought that with them, that Kerryism, that Kerry thing, and it happened to be, you know, some Corran. Coalesced at the same sort of time, roughly, and it made a big difference.
It did indeed. Mick, thanks very much for joining us.
Okay, cheers, Mick.
See you, Mick. Take care. We'll see you in September.
Mick Doyle here, unique course. Coached Ireland to Triple Crown, Mick, a fierce honour, wasn't it?
Yeah, fantastic. Like, you know, not alone was he a fantastic player, but he went on, you know, to be a very successful coach, and, you know, he's one of the legends in Irish rugby.
Mick, we're going to find out what it's like to play with you, because we're the great club mate of yours, Jen, for the last 7 years is the outstanding Andrew Thompson. Andrew joins us on the line now to give an insight into what kind of a bloke are you. Andrew, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks very much, Isha. How are things?
Not too bad at all. This man is flying here tonight. Come here, tell us anyway about this particular man. What's he like as a teammate on and off the field, Andrew?
On and off the field. So I could be on to you for an hour or two anyway.
Well, I know that. We'll give you a couple of minutes.
I'll start when I was a young fella anyway, and I came down to Shannon. I was playing with the 18s for a year. I was in fifth year in school up the country, and they brought me down to the club, and I met Mick Galway and Mick Fitzgibbon, the two current Shannon internationals at the time, and I got a jumper off and I shook hands with them, and of course I was in awe. You know, hoping that I'd get the chance to play with these great men, you know. But I couldn't say a nicer word about either of them now, especially Mick, as he's there. But they made any young fella joining a club as great as Shannon more than welcome, and brought them on and minded them as such, you know, in the first few games.
And Joe, when you're going around the country now and you were winning your Irish titles and things like that, your All-Ireland leagues, what did he bring to the vital games, and we'd say scores level, point down, minutes to go? What did he do for you?
Well, Mick was an incredible influence on every player that I played with him, I'd say, especially, as I said, the younger guys that came to the clubs. When I joined Shannon, it was in 92-93, I think it was, and I went on a tour to Wales, and I played my first match there, and Mick was there, and that was the year Mick made the Lions tour, and so he was on top of his form. But just the sheer nature of the man, I suppose, that he can bring along young fellas and put confidence in them, and make sure that, you know, to the young fellas that he'll look after them, and you'll be all right. Just, you know, play your own game and have your confidence. But it wasn't so much that as well. It was more the fact that even though he wasn't a captain for as many years as I was there, he was more a captain on the field. Really, and he led by example. And I played under Mick at Munster while he was a captain there as well. But he just led from the front, really, you know. And if there was always a problem, everybody would come in together, and Mick would have the problem sorted out in a couple of quick words, and we get on with our business then, you know.
Well, Andrew, listen, it was great to join us and give us that insight into that man down here.
No problem.
Listen, thanks for joining us.
No problem, sir. It's a pleasure. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much, Andrew.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, no, Mick, we're staying on the comment line, because every club and every sport have their lifelong workers, fellas who literally give up their life year after year, and Shannon have one who's at it for about 50 years. Of course, it happens in Gaelic clubs and everything. Fellas putting out the, you know, putting out the flags and lining the field, and fellas who are the secretaries are there for years and years. Well, there's one Bobby Kane from Shannon. He's there for how many years? As long as we can...
Oh, he's there a long time before I was there, isn't
he? Well, now he's joining us in the line. Bobby, welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much.
Well, now, you more...
And it's a privilege to be on from Mick Galway's tribute here. Thank you very much.
You're more than well. Bob, you're involved since roughly 50 years with Shannon. Now, yeah, talk to us about the influence of this man on the Shannon club.
Well, it's very hard to quantify, because we have been so successful since this fellow arrived in Shannon in 1985-86 that we've won 8 senior cups, we've won 4 All-Ireland leagues, we've won 3 Munster senior leagues. Munster teams have gone on to win 5 or 6 inter-pro championships, with Mick Galway 3 times captain, I think. He's gone on to play for his country with honour, with great honour, and he should have played, as Mick Doyle said, a lot more times. He has played for the British, British and Irish Lions, we prefer to call them the Lions, with distinction, and many other things that Mick Galway has achieved in his lifetime. Now, the fact of what has he done for Shannon, I could say this, Shannon would probably be a successful club without Mick Galway, but how successful, I'm not too sure. We have had our greatest years since he came with us. He has been a very big factor in that, a huge factor. Hard to quantify, because he had other great players with him, as he would admit, and he wouldn't like me to say that to Lorne McAlvis, it wasn't. But he has been such a magnificent influence, and has been such a wonderful guy, and a wonderful human being, from the youngest player in Shannon to the oldest Alec Adu. He had time for, and he spoke to them, and he made time for them, you know?
Bob, if I was to put you on the spot and ask you for one single abiding memory of Mick Galway on the field of play, what would it be?
Well, I suppose it would have to be a try he scored for Shannon against Gary Owen in a Munster Cup, which was drifting away from us, and the present Irish coach, second coach, so Sullivan was playing out half the same day. McGalway got a ball about 40 yards out, and nothing was going to stop him. We were only afraid that he might go over the dead ball line he was on his way. Nothing was going to stop him crossing the line, but he did put that ball down the far corner in Thomond Park up in the Ballinanty end, and that was the winning try. And I'd never forget that moment. That, and I suppose the one in Dublin that McGuire has just been talking about. But if I, and these are the things that make McGuire. McGuire is a great person, not because he pretends or anything like that. He is true to himself. He is himself. He's true to himself. He's true to his background, his kingdom, Curra, Castle Island background. He's unique in the sense that he has the All-Ireland and an international All-Ireland Munster medals at football. And he also is an internationally capped rugby player. I think that's one unique thing he has.
Bobby,
if I might just finish...
You can, of course, boy.
And I will say, I have a little thing in front of me here, and I'd have to quote it because it's from Edmund Van Esbeek. And he says about Mick, Galway's catalogue of sporting achievement and the many honours he has won are impressive in themselves and proof of his many-sided talents. Yet, to reduce reality to a numerical expression of the medals won and the caps gained in the context of Mick Galway would be to do him an injustice. What of Mick Galway the man? Here is a man of whom it can truly be said he wears his fame lightly. He has a personality with which it is easy to respond and equally to respect. Thus, his quality of leadership, he is a man of ready wit, endearing warmth and much wisdom. He is a man who leads by precept and example. What more could you say about a man?
Bob, listen to me. On that note, what more could you say? And listen, keep up the good work up there because you're a true clubman. Thanks, Bob.
Well done, Mick. And well done. Well done, Mick.
Thanks, Bob, Bobby. Thanks for Mick, we're going for a very quick break. Just before we go now, a quick break. You have no O'Donoghue Cup medal.
I have no O'Donoghue Cup medal, that's right.
There's one
that's,
for the...
That's very true. I was beaten in a final, but the fact that Curra won it there 2 years ago, I think made up for it. I was out in Italy playing a match at Munster. I can remember ringing the Gleneagle out having Killarney because there was no one in Curra left. And when I heard the news that came through, I was delighted for it.
10 pints up in the final, Mick, in the Croke speech, yeah?
That's right, yeah. 10 pints up in the
Croke. And I know that your lady wife knows the referee's name.
She does, I know.
She might know all that much about Gaelic, but when I was talking to her lately, she says...
Tony O'Connor, we'll never forget him.
She said, I know that referee, she says, and I know where he's from.
That's
very true. Listen, Mick, it's not too late to get another Cup medal yet.
You'll never know.
You'll never know. Mick, we're going for a short break. And you know what we're going to do tonight, just for a change, Mick? I'm giving you a few comments here. What are they saying about you?
There's a comment here from Les Nolan in Beaufort. I worked with him and Charlie's years ago. He just says, best of luck to Mick and thanks for the great game to Shannon and Munster and in Ireland.
Well, Pat Ryan and Felices, did Mick ever play hurling? Did you, Mick?
I did. I played hurling actually out in Curra. We had a team in Curra and we played, remember the East Kerry team there, used to be 11 aside.
Yeah.
And I actually played a match one night over in about 7 or 8 years ago, I played a hurling match in Milltown for some charity thing.
Actually, Ted Sullivan then says, can Mick comment on his hurling? You've done that. What else have you done, Mick?
There's Pat Carey here from Tralee, basketball. He says, Mick was also a great basketball player. He had a great pair of elbows. That's Pat, but I suppose Pat was a bit smaller than me, so he'd have to run into my elbows.
Yeah, Dennis and Captain Griffin Ballymack in Castle Island, best wishes to Mick so far, and all the best for the coming season. Where would you, Mick?
One here from James Chassie Cronin from Douaun, formerly Castle Island. He just wishes best of luck. It's Millie and I head above in the sport complex with Chassie when we were residing in the steam room and having good crack.
Great man, Chassie. There's a couple of more there if you'll make look. Tony and Maxie Fleming, Curra, best of luck. You kept them awake, Mick, at night, kicking the ball against the wall when you were young. And they were trying to sleep and you were keeping them awake. How do you go to say for yourself?
That's true. Where I live in Curra, there's a chapel yard there. And I suppose that chapel yard for me, that then was my field of dreams. Was my field, really. And my sports pitches was a basketball pitch and it was a soccer pitch and a Gaelic pitch and a rugby pitch. It was just the chapel yard. And they had a fine big garage down at the end of it. And there was a fine wall there, so I used to be kicking ball there all night.
Where was you there, Mick? I don't know.
Maureen O'Keefe, Pierre of the Curra, Born a Dog, congratulations on all your success so far and all the best for the future.
President of the Kentuck Rugby Club, all down there in Kentuck. My mother came from Kentuck, from Strand Street in Kentuck. All the best, Mick, from the Kentuck Rugby Club.
Sean Lyons from Knocknagossal GA Club. All the best. You're a true gentleman.
Eamon O'Connor, all the best, and his family from Eamon O'Connor.
The O'Shea family from Cora, thanks for all the great games and for all the enjoyment. Best of luck for the future.
John Hickey from Cullen and County Cork, all the best to Mick, but all the very best to his wife and baby. He had to come to Cork to get a wife. You had, Mick, you had to go
I had to go across the border to Ballydaly, which is only 4 miles, or 3 or 4 miles from the Kerry border.
But why had you to go to Cork to get a wife, Mick?
Well, I met her in that famous... famous establishment in Castle Island. A lot of people probably met their partners with the Woodies in Castle Island years ago. That's where I met Joan, and she happened to come from Cork, but I didn't have a problem with that.
But so. Somebody told me she had pity on you because you were on crutches. Is that right?
Well, that's true too, actually. That's the first time we met, I was in crutches. It was a bit of self-pity. I was on my crutches and I had no drive home, and she had a car at the time. She drove me home.
Well, listen, Mick, we're going to find out now if that's true, because Joan is on the line to talk to us. Joan, you're welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Weezy.
Listen to me. He's having a great night here, and I can tell you this. Was it true that you had pity on him? That's why... you went out together.
Well, I wouldn't say that was why we actually went out together, but he was on crutches and I did drive him home.
Joan, how would you describe Mick Galway now to us?
Goodness. That's a difficult question. Well, I suppose a lot of what you read is true. You know, he's calm, he's modest, and... he usually, we'll say from a playing point of view, he's got a very level head and he's good to make decisions on the pitch, and, you know, even in retrospect, he'll usually have taken the right option. You know, I suppose that's part of the reason. He's very determined. I don't think there are many people who would have kept on going, kept on training and kept on playing. Like Mike did. And actually, if you look at the current team, I think there are only two players who were born in the 60s who are still playing. There's a 4-year gap and there's nobody at all persisted and, you know, stuck in there, and I think he deserves the comeback after all he's been through.
Joan, what would upset him now? Like, I mean, does injury upset him if he was dropped off a team? And what gets him down?
Well, I suppose being dropped will always get you down, but he's so used to that at this stage that it doesn't bother him as much anymore. I mean, Munster have never dropped him, and it would be the Irish team, you know, that would have dropped him. And he's never been dropped from Shannon either. I suppose the club and the province mean so much to him that he'll keep going for their sake anyway.
Is he good around the house, John?
He's not too bad, actually. He does all his own gear.
No, but how is he with the old hammer and nail?
The hammer and nail is a different issue now.
Yeah, how is he?
I'd say I'd be the one who'd be...
What about the paintbrush?
The paintbrush. He's actually so particular when he's painting.
Yeah.
That I'd rather do it when he's away.
Is he a good man to hang a roll of wallpaper, let's say?
We've never got to that stage.
Because I know husbands and wives that fell out over hanging wallpaper.
No, we never got as far as the wallpaper, I'm afraid.
Of course, John, no doubt at all about it. When he comes home after giving you the little kiss, the first thing he goes for is Nessa, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. She always has a welcome for him.
Yeah.
She's mad about her dada.
Can't come on the phone because she hasn't got a few words yet.
Well, no, she hasn't really. She's plenty of times, you know, just words. She's only 15 months, so she doesn't have sentences yet.
Yeah.
She's well able to call him when she wants something, though.
Lovely, yeah. And come here, I must ask you this now. It goes to all mothers and wives and everything. What about the gear? When he comes in after matches and things, and the gear is inside in the bag, is the bag thrown in some corner, or is it left there for you? Or does he look after it himself?
Well, actually, he does. His gear is totally his responsibility.
But there you are.
He comes in the door and heads straight to the washing machine, and it goes in there, and then he sits down on the couch. But he does look after his own gear completely.
Listen, before I hand you over to Mick, now I'm going to ask you one more question. Somebody told me that ye tell each other every single item that happened, that ye have no secret. Did he know tonight that there was a show of people coming on?
Well, I suppose you never know what you don't know. Or you never know how much you don't know.
Mick, so. You better say hello to your lady wife there.
Hello, John.
Hello, Mike. How are you?
How's everything kicking, eh?
Grand. You got down safely?
I got down eventually, yeah. Roads were busy, but I got down in one piece.
That's good.
Okay. She went off to NASA.
There's a little lady doing rec here. Well,
that's what I can imagine.
Yeah, there Joan, it was lovely for joining us. Thanks very much.
Okay, we see.
Listen, thanks very much. That's
okay, thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Joan. That's Joan there, who met up in Woody's with Mike when he was in crutches. Mick, drugs in sport. Is there drugs in professional rugby?
There's drugs in every professional game, unfortunately, which but I think, you know, there was a bit of an incident there a few years ago. They were all talking about the drugs in rugby, but to be honest with you, it's not, you know, obviously people will dabble in drugs, and like, nobody can afford to dabble in them, because we're tested regularly, and you know, after all the big games, there's drug testing now, and to be honest, there's no place for drugs in sports. You know, if a player trains hard enough and watches lifestyle, you need never turn to drugs.
Well, Mick, just a couple of messages here that from the people asked me for allowed. Bernie stuck with the Kerry Coaching and Games Development Committee, and as you know, now it is all coaching young people now, it is very important. Sure. Well, what's happening in Kerry now is that the two coaches in Kerry have been taken out of the schools, and it's up to every single club now in Kerry to appoint a liaison officer to the county board to liaison between the schools and their clubs. But unfortunately, a lot of the clubs aren't doing it. So Bernie Rean, Michael McCarthy, Pat O'Shea and Morris Leahy are warning all the clubs in the county that they'll have to get a liaison officer to go into the schools, because Pat O'Shea and Morris Leahy, they've been promoted, they're gone up a bit now, and they won't be doing that. So Bernie Rean warned me to tell the clubs, all the clubs in the county, you know, lads, it's up to you to get a man into the schools. Important, Mick, to be coaching young people.
This is, of course, it's very important to get young people involved in sport, or whatever sport it is, and, you know, especially here in Kerry, I suppose, for GAA would be very strong, and to be in all the schools, but like that, you have other sports, you have rugby, and then you have soccer, and you have basketball, and athletics, whatever they do. But yeah, it's very important to get the youth involved in sport. It's a great thing for them. It's no load on them. And, you know, when you have sport, or when you can play something like that, you meet loads of people, and it can be a great outlook for you when you get on in later life.
What was your favourite try?
My favourite try, I suppose, was the one against England. You know, it had to be because of the fact it was a fantastic game, and it was the end of a fantastic year, and I suppose to score a try against, you know, an English team, for anybody to score against England, you know, that they're the old enemy, and to score a try against England, and like Conn Holden said, in the Kerry corner above Lansdowne Road, I couldn't have asked for more.
Well, I suppose it's nearly even better to score one in Twickenham in front of their own supporters.
Well, that's true, but unfortunately we actually got a hiding that day, but yeah, it was great to come on in that match. You come out at half-time and scored a try, and was probably the turning point of my career, which got me back into it.
Let's have a little listen to the turning point of your career now. Let's see what happened in Twickenham that day.
And potentially, because Mike Chatt is hobbling. You can see the possession that Ireland have had in this second half. They've got another penalty. Chatt is right out of it on the wing, but it doesn't matter because Ireland are pushing over with their forwards. And they have another score. It's Galway who gets up with the ball. Mick Galway.
The old warrior, they took their time, but they made it count. A little bit slack from England. Ireland look for the soft spot. Galway spins and he's over.
His only other international try against England 7 years ago.
Don't say it. Didn't Dowie play in that game?
The old warrior, Mick.
The old warrior,
he said, thanks to Sky Sports for that. I tell you, they didn't like that, did they?
They didn't like that, I suppose.
It was killing them to be telling you. We've got the comment line again, Mick, because I tell you why. In 1987, most people don't realise you lost the replay at All-Ireland in the 21 final, didn't you?
That's true.
Now, great Donegal said, led by Manus Boyle.
That's right.
They beat you in the final, 1-12-2-4. And you scored the goal again. You scored one of the goals in one of the games. And then you were marked in a fellow by the name of Brian Buck for Tipperary in the Munster final.
That's right.
Great footballer.
Was involved in the minors, and then marked him in 21. And he went on to be a great footballer for Tipperary, and was ever present there with him.
And the man that was training the Kerry under 21s that set you on a bit of your career, he has a team in the All-Ireland final 2 weeks' time. And the Kerry Jonas in the All-Ireland final, he's Buddy Grady.
Buddy
joins us in the line. Buddy, you're welcome to the programme.
Hello, Wishy. Hello, Michal.
Hello, Buddy. How are you doing?
Congratulations, my friend.
Thank you very much. Thanks for that.
What can I say about me, Michael? An outstanding sportsman, giant of a man, very unassuming, great crack. Willing to look after himself as he pulled above in Tipperary the night of the Munster final. and William to look after me, as he proved that night also.
What happened that night, buddy?
There was a little bit of a misunderstanding that night, and the Tipperary lads were getting a bit tough, so I had to go on to the field. One of our players were injured, and one of the Tipperary players took exception to it, but I think Mick looked after him anyway.
Good man to train, I'd say, buddy.
Excellent, and a man amongst men, really, and he's a typical Kerry sportsman, very unassuming, and on top of that, a very nice guy.
Brody, listen, thanks for joining us.
No problems always.
All the best, that's Brody Brady there. The best of luck in the junior final too, Brody. The best of luck. Now, John Hickey Cullen, County Cork, all the best to Mick, but all the very best to his wife and baby. He had to come to Cork. We had that one before. And all the best to Timothy Cahill from Abbeyfield. All the best. He is a great player. Have you any more there, Mick?
There's one here from Dolly Leary in Rathmore. We were just talking about it there. Yeah. Mick, do you remember the other 2-1 game in Clanmill?
That's a coincidence now.
Dolly was a selector in that team, and Dolly actually goes a lot of the rugby matches after me. Dolly down in Thomond Park or whatever. Joe Forn from Castle Island. Right, this is you. Wish you forgot about Joe Connor, Castle Island. Played 11 times for Ireland in rugby. And good luck to Mick.
Well, we didn't forget about him.
We mentioned him, but we didn't.
We're shoving on again now. We're going for a quick break. 0667123666. Of course, with us and Mick in Castle Island, there's a big thing on next Sunday. Kerry take on Limerick in an inter-county athletic meeting and a revival here at Times Pass. It promises to be great entertainment. It kicks off at 11 o'clock at Castle Island track. Did you ever take part in athletics, Mick?
I did, yeah. I was a member of Corra Head at an athletic club years ago, and then I was actually a member of Re-Up the Athletic Club as well in Castle Island, which is still going. Yeah, I did a lot of running and sprinting and cross-country and travelled all over Munster really at it, and enjoyed every bit of it.
And it all helped, of course, to build up your stamina and your strength and your speed and your fitness, Mick, didn't it?
It did, of course, yeah. It was fantastic, especially during the winter, I suppose, when we weren't playing together. It was all GA then, and it was the athletics, and we used a lot of training in the hall in Curragh, and it was fantastic training. It was obviously something that stood to me at a later time.
Mick, if you were to say something to all the sports people out there now listening to you, especially young fellas that should be training but aren't training, might be leaving things slip a little bit, and maybe fellas that are training and aren't getting there, what would you say to them?
Well, especially to young people, I suppose, maybe teenagers who might be thinking of giving up whatever they're at and maybe just working or whatever, but sport is a great thing. If I had done that and given up sport, I wouldn't be able to be where I am now. But sport is a great thing. It's a great level of people, and you meet so many people through it, and it's no load to carry, and it refreshes the mind, it refreshes the body, and it just keeps you active and healthy. And I'd say to anybody just to play a sport, whatever they're playing, any sport at all, it just keeps you healthy. And it's no load, and sports people especially can associate with other sports people, and there's lots of opportunities there. If you're good at sport, you'll be good at all things in life. And like all the big schools now, like the sport is very important, in as well as exams. Exams are obviously the most important thing of all, but sport is very important for younger people, and indeed people getting on as well.
Well, Mick, just before we go to the comment line, I must mention my own club about something. If I forgot the Legion, you often tell against myself. The Legion field day is on next Sunday in the Rean, beginning at 2 o'clock. And Mary Dunne, who is one of the organisers here, always a great day, that day out of the Legion field day next Sunday. Now, Mick, we'll go on to the comment line, because we were finding out what kind of a man you are on the field, off the field, and friend of him. I know, what kind of a brother were you growing up? I don't know about that. I'm fairly good friends with your sister, Frances. I'd often meet her when she'd be behind the bar in Calamity. So, Frances, you're welcome to the Terrace Talk.
Hello, Richard.
How are you doing?
Hello, Mike.
Hello, Frances. How are you? Good.
Come here now, Frances. How was he as a brother growing up? Was he out to look after you, or did he give you a little bit of bullying? Tell us a few things about him.
Well, I suppose my earliest memory of Mike was when he was born, and there was already five sisters and two brothers in the family, and we were all delighted when Michael was born, of course. Old Michael was never a bully growing up. He was always a gentleman, I suppose. And John Brown was on there about Mick earlier, his great ability at kicking a ball and all that. But I remember when Michael started playing football at a very young age, here off the gable wall. And I suppose Maxie and Tone across the way will agree with me. There was a fair few windows broken.
Yeah.
And but I suppose a few panes of glass were a good investment. It paid off in the finish.
Frances, when you met Tim now, Tim is your husband, of course.
Yeah.
And you were going out with him for a short time. Did he check him out? Did he, as a brother would? Listen, how was he there?
Oh, he checked him out, all right.
Did he?
he was very particular, I suppose, about who his sisters were dating, but I think it was nothing that if you find the Murphys or Guinness couldn't sort out, you know, and he gave Kim pacifying colours, you know, eventually, I suppose.
Well, when you're out and about now, Francis, do people who had to they introduce you? Do they say that you're Tim's wife, or are you introduced as Mrs. McCarthy, or are you introduced as Mick Galway's sister?
Well, Mick Galway, they're Tim's wife, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But usually, I suppose, everybody around here calls me Francis Galway, it's never Francis McCarthy, you know, I suppose, the maid.
Yeah. And your mother, Bridget, and yourself, the whole family,
yeah,
fierce proud of him, of course.
We are, we're very proud for him, I suppose, you know, that we've had great, you know, great years and great memories, and we got to travel to a lot of the matches, you know, in Limerick and Dublin and across the water as well, of course, and yeah. I suppose the best thing about being mixed sisters is that we made a lot of friends along the way, and we have great memories.
You have. Francis, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Richie.
Thanks, all the best, Francis. Good luck.
Bye now.
Mick, Munster's wonderful odyssey there, around Europe to reach the European Cup final in Twickenham, games against Saracens, Colombias, Pontypridd, St. Francais, Toulouse, and the final against Northampton, ear coach was Dictyn Kidney. It must have been, was it unbelievable? Was it a dream?
It was a fantastic event because, you know, it started obviously over a year ago, and, you know, we had some great games along the way, great memories, great travelling. We made a lot of friends, and, you know, we built up a lot of support for the Munster team, and a lot of people travelled, followed us all the way to France and to England and to Wales and all over Europe, and, you know, it was a fantastic occasion. I know it was disappointing to lose the match in the end, but, you know, we wouldn't have changed for being to the final. I think it was the journey really was the most fantastic part of it.
Mick, how many caps have you?
I mean, I have 31 caps for Ireland, and I have 93 or 4 caps for Munster.
Yeah, well, the producer just told me he's a rake of comments. We won't get through them all. We picked out a few. Injuries, Mick, have you had...
I've been very lucky with injury, touch wood. I've never broken a bone in my body. I've pulled hamstrings and calves and all that kind of trouble. I had a bit of trouble there a few years ago with a back injury, and I still have to be very careful with it. But, you know, I've been very lucky when it comes to injuries, and, you know, thank God, I suppose, it has kept me going in the game, really.
There's another bundle of comments here. Mick, give a gander through them. Away with you.
William Maher here from Kilcowan. All the best. I played with Willie and the Kerry team, and we had some great times.
Parish Council, all the best, Mick.
Liam and Mary Hickey Ratmore, they're my cousins over in Ratmore.
Noreen Buckley, on behalf of the Polio Fellowship of Ireland, because of greater charity. Welcome, Noreen.
Mike Dove and Tima Brown over in Castle Gregory, that'll be John's wife. And
all the best, Brendan and Kathleen and Tony Galway in Gotnashana, is it?
That's right, Gotnashana.
And Neil Francis, the worst player you ever met. Is it?
Well, he's not the best one, I'll put it that
Tom
way.
Tom Brassen, Mick coached volleyball and Curragh, is that right, Mick?
Yeah, I played a bit of volleyball, yeah. Had a bit of crack with that too.
Away with you.
There's a Leo here. Does Mick think that Kerry will win against Armagh in the upcoming game? I think they will, yeah. I think Armagh are a very good side. I saw Kerry play in the Munster final against Clare, and I was very impressed with them. But I was also very impressed with Armagh that night when we went home and saw him play. But,
Well, Mick, I tell you, interrupting you again as always, we said at the start time we catch up. Listen, it was great to have you.
It was great to be here with you.
Paul Sheen was the producer. Una was on sound. And Claire was below taking all those phone calls. All I can say, Mick, you were a credit to the kingdom, and it was lovely to have you, and long may you continue on, and the best of luck to Nessa and to Joan and to yourself. Mick Galway, thanks for the memories.
Thanks very much, Richie. It was an honor to be here.
Stands folly from the sea, and dearer far in all this world is that dear isle to me. It is not that alone it stands, while all around its fresh and fair. But because it is my native land and my home, because it is my native land. sail. Farewell, farewell,
farewell, farewell.
No lands may meet,
no lands may meet.
May meet my gaze,
my gaze, wherever I roam.
I shall not find,
I shall not find
a spot so fair,
a spot so fair
as that year I'll,
as that year I'll away.
It is not that alone it stands,
alone it stands,
while all around is fresh and fair.
But because my home is there, but because it is my native land and my